Phil and Will are back, recapping the finale of Surviving Barstool Season 3. Sorry this is coming to everybody a little bit late. We were so on top of it the entire season of getting everything out when it needed to be gotten out, night after, maybe like within 12 hours, 15 hours, whatever it was. And the finale
episode, the first three we totally missed.
We didn't even know we were going to do it at that point. Yeah, so it was just exciting.
I don't want to give us too much credit.
But I'm also not going to knock us down for this one, because we were assuming, as anybody who listened to our last episode will know, we were assuming that this was going to be about, I don't know, an hour and a half, maybe.
Maximum. Yeah. An hour and a half would be like, and then, yeah, maybe do a reunion. But
it ended at 11. It ended at 11. Now, the episode itself was only 2 hours and 28 minutes, because I guess if you were watching live, there was a gap between the end of the episode and the beginning of the next episode or something like that, or like the beginning of the live finale portion of it. But I was never going to be able to get this episode done until about 2 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast. And that just simply was not an option. So it's better. We got Funky Monkey Friday or whatever Will's representing over there. And it's just better to do it today and talk all about
Right. Yeah. Happy Funky Monkey Friday. If you know, you know. If not, then you'll have to get on board. But yeah, we're finally here. It was a very long episode. And I had said, like, the final tribal council is going to be like the meat and potatoes of this episode. Just having your entire cast berate the final three that's up there. We had some interesting speeches to go through. And then the opening statements too. I mean, my God, those are the longest opening speeches. But what's so cool is that it's like they took it so seriously. Like, they all like wrote it out on their phones and like really thought about what they can say to win the game. No,
I watched on one of. I'm back. Sorry, my internet just totally craps out. I have no idea what's going on with this thing, man. It's been like the last like couple weeks. What were you saying? Was it something nice?
What was it? I was just saying how I appreciated how much care and thought, and even though the speeches maybe were, you know, too long by like 5 minutes each, that they went through each vote and fully explained their games. And maybe they do that on Survivor and it's just not edited. Actually, on Survivor, it's more general. It's like, this is my mentality playing, or maybe they mention like one vote or one big thing they did that really like influence their game and why they got to the end. But I mean, this was like play by play, really well thought out. So I appreciate the care. But yeah, that's a long final tribal council.
Yeah, I watched every speech on 1.5 speed, and I don't feel like I missed anything. And it also sounded like they were talking at normal speed, which really bothered me, because, man, watching, like, being a part of that room, those speeches were so long. And they each had like 4 closing statements. None of them would just like, they would keep repeating the same closing statement over and over and over again, which was a funny little touch, because, hey, it is the Barstool guys, but a lot of these guys do write, don't they? Like, it's not like they haven't written or posted a blog ever in their life on Barstool, right?
Yeah, but if you read the blogs, it's not like their blog posts. They're not, this isn't journalism. This isn't, these aren't articles. You would never call them articles. They are fully blogs, and they get rambly sometimes, and that's the vibe. That's the gist. But hey, Will Compton won. Kudos to him. He played a really strong game. That was your second winner pick after who? After Rico went home.
After Rico went home.
Shout out to Will. I'm a big fan of all Wills. So if Will can win, that's a win for me too.
Yeah, dude, you need a Will win. That was the first Will win we've ever had in Survivor history. That's huge. Normally, Wills are goats. Will Sims comes to mind immediately.
Will Sims in season, what, 30?
And 30. That was our first full season
Will,
we podcast.
Will Wall in season 33 was also was our two Wills.
Yeah, they both made it deep. Neither one of them really had a chance to win, which kind of like, you know, sounds like Will. But Will Compton pulled out the W. Mm. And It was quite funny to watch how much everybody just ripped Jerry. And I mean, these final tribal council speeches, I mean, we'll talk about them. It really proved that Survivor needs to go back to this, man. I know that this was really leaning in because these guys all are content people and they're all that kind of thing. But I really feel like it showed, this was a perfect mash of what Survivor has had their two final tribals look like, which is, it's either like Sean Rector gets up and speaks directly to the two people, or Zeke controls the entire narrative of speaking at the Millennials versus Gen X final. Like, it's one of those two things. this
Wait, was Millennials versus Gen X? I thought Game Changers was the first.
Oh, maybe it was Game Changers and Zeke did it. Whatever it was,
Zeke was on that season too. Yeah.
Yeah, Zeke was kind of controlling the conversation that was happening there. But no matter what it was, this episode really showed that you can have every single person go up individually and have their moment and then still have a conversation that is related to it. And I think this was a really nice, happy medium that Survivor should try to implement. I know it could get long and everything, but maybe you don't have to show everybody's final speech. Maybe you don't have to show everybody's questions. Maybe you don't have to show much of the back and forth. It seemed like they showed pretty much everything during this whole entire situation. That's like what they knew that they were going to have golden content here. So they wanted to pad this up. But Survivor should take a page out of this book because this was a very entertaining final tribal. And you allowed everyone to have their moment and nobody got overshadowed, but everybody also could then go back and forth at each other throughout. I love like PFT going at Dave and Big Cat going at Dave and then Dave getting to, respond to certain things. It allows for some drama. You're going to cut a lot of that if you're putting this out on CBS, but I think it works.
Yeah, especially here, we had 11 jury members and they each got to say something plus the back and forth. With Survivor these days, what are we getting? Like, it's mostly 8 jury members, right? Like, that's the common size because we're starting with 18 people. So 7 people get eliminated who aren't on the jury. And yeah, each, like, it's 8 people, even if it's like 15 to 30 seconds per person to just say something and then at least start the conversation. And then there you mix back and forth in between. I agree with you. I miss the individual moments from the players, but I also do appreciate when you can go back and forth and then somebody can like chime in and say, well, what about this? Or no, you didn't make that move and kind of call people out. So yeah, I'm with you here. That would be something that Survivor should look at.
Yeah, and obviously you're never going to get final speeches to this level because, I mean, Kirk wanted – he's telling Stephen Jay that he wants to kill his whole family. I mean, that's different. And you got Rico throwing cheese at them, which is something that is different. And then you had – what was the other crazy speech? Dave's speech directed at Jerry Carey was brutal. You're not going to get those types of speeches. You have them every now and then with Corrine, and you had, the Sue Hawk one and those speeches. But you're – it's not going to be an all the time occurrence. So it does work a little bit better in this Survivor world, but let's get one final bit of the personality of each of these people, especially since on New Era Survivor, a lot of people know that they have a really good chance that there's going to be a returning player season at some point. And because of just the world we live in, if you stay relevant long enough, you can be a serious consideration for that spot. So let them get their one moment. Cause maybe they will push back.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's more if you are going to be up for
it. Sounds a little bit. Maybe to the level of Corrine. Probably, oh my God. Dude, I'm so mad. I don't know why my internet is doing this today. It's driving me insane. I apologize.
What I'm saying is if you're going to be in, fighting for a spot on a returnee season, you shouldn't need one line as a jury member. Like, you should either shine as a jury member anyway, like without getting your one special moment and having your turn, you should just be able to chime in and say something intriguing or ask good questions, or don't need the jury part at all. You already made your stamp when you were actually in the game. So I don't know if I agree with you there.
Yeah, but I think that sometimes these last speeches put a final pin in everything, right? Like the final speech can really solidify somebody as an all-time villain or as an all-time character or something like that. So you're getting your moment, because sometimes the last time we see these players, especially in the new era, you're seeing players who do whatever they're doing. They show up and they have like this great season. And the last time we see that, I don't know. I'm so mad, Will. You have no idea. I'm so angry. Why does my internet keep cutting out? What was the last thing you heard?
I don't know. When your internet goes out, should I just start saying things, or is it
just your host? Just start talking. I don't know what is going on.
I'm just going to talk, and then Phil, you just be quiet the rest of the podcast.
It's so aggravating. I don't know why it's happening. This has not been an issue until like very recently, and it's driving me absolutely insane. And today it's the worst it's ever been. I can't even get in. I can't even get in 30 seconds.
Are you sure it's not my internet? Or are you sure it's your internet?
Oh, it's definitely my internet. It's definitely because I keep getting the little Wi-Fi thing in the top corner. Yeah, which is what's driving me nuts. But okay, final statement. It the last time we're seeing a lot of these players, we're not even getting a cool moment from them at that point. Like, we're getting nothing. They just show up, they write their vote down, and that's the last time we see them, no matter how great of a character they were the entire season.
Mm-hmm. I buy that.
Yeah. Go ahead. You talk now for the most part. I'll jump in.
Yeah. You just kind of stay in the background. Yeah. We got to give Will Compton his props. He played this really well. He made the two biggest moves of the game in flipping on Tommy. And even though we heard a little bit that like Tommy maybe wasn't totally his move, the KFC move absolutely was. And KFC was fully blindsided. And then it's challenge performance. This is a really fun challenge. This is another like classic Survivor challenge, but they themed it towards Barstool Phil. I don't know if you're familiar with the phrase brick by brick. It's something that Portnoy says, you know, how he built the company. He now has a watch brand called Brick Watches, which I think a lot of hate because like the watch people, the watch bros that are super into watches, they like weren't made correctly or they're overpriced or I don't know. And like a brick is, you know, you get something that doesn't work, like a car is kind of a lemon, or like I think like anything that doesn't work, you say, oh, it's brick.
Broken phone is a brick.
So yeah, you got these high tech watches, not high tech, but they're supposed to be high value watches, to call them bricks, maybe doesn't work so well. Anyway, that's why they were bricks. And I really like this. I liked how few bricks they had. They had to get super creative, and Feidelberg just like making this like this tower, which like looked really cool, but he had used like pretty much 75-80% of his blocks. He's not even halfway up to the line. And then Jeff calling Jerry's abstract art. I just like how they were able to get creative. We see this with Survivor too, when they do like the House of Cards. Everyone has to kind of come up with their own strategy. And Compton, it feels like he immediately figured out the best way to do this, because Shay starts copying Compton and basically then surpasses him using his own strategy. And then they have a little bit of back and forth. But Compton, for like being voted the dumbest guy in the opinion challenge, just has proven this entire season to like be not only not dumb, but actually very smart and sharp. I actually looked up, I kind of wanted to see his NFL playing career and some of his football career. So I looked him up, and he was like an academic All-American when he was at Nebraska. So like he's not an idiot by any means. I'm not saying like, oh, you know, nailing classes at Nebraska is like some incredible feat of intelligence. But I mean, hey, at least if you're playing football, at least you gotta stay on top of the books and academic All-American. So I think, yeah, he's not an idiot, and he really proved that.
I just looked it up, so hopefully that doesn't crash my internet for going on Google for half a second. But I think the average SAT at Nebraska is 1240. Now, I don't know if that's on the new system or the old system. I don't know if that's like through the 1800 or through the 16 or whatever, the 2400 or the 1600. But, you know, 1240 would be pretty good if it's out of 1600. If it's out of 2400, yeah, I mean, yeah, Will Compton might not be the smartest guy in the world, but he did a really good job on the show. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you know what though? I think what Will Compton showed was sometimes don't overthink it. You know, everybody gets this last challenge and they all immediately started overthinking it. And Compton was like, okay, I'm just going to try to build the tallest tower as fast as I can. And he didn't say, how big does my base need to be? How strong are these blocks going to be? He just said, well, if I do two at a time and I make them perfect so that they're not leaning one way or the other, why wouldn't it work? And that's what he did. And I mean, then he had to use the grabber and it worked. And I was kind of surprised. I thought eventually it would start tipping, but yeah, I mean, we had fights try to build his, and his wasn't even as tall as he was by the time he was out of blocks because he had such a great base.
Yeah. Yeah. Fun challenge overall. We kind of thought Jeff's commentary was really, really good. Going back, I just want to jump back to Final Tribal. We can kind of jump around here. I found it interesting that the entire jury was pretty like how easily Will won, and we're like, this guy clearly played the best game. Like, he won three challenges and made strategic moves, and that they didn't want to give it to the biggest Barstool personality. Now, all three of these guys you would never put in the Mount Rushmore, even in like maybe the top 10 of like Barstool guys. Maybe Jerry cracks the top 10 like as of late, but these aren't your primary Barstool guys. And so, I mean, it was cool that they didn't really care to be like, okay, Jerry needs the money more. Jerry's more a front-facing Barstool content creator who's been here longer. Like, he's on the sports advisors. He does his betting thing, whatever. Like, they didn't lean that way. And I am curious if Feidelberg was on and was in the final three with Compton, would the arguments have been different? Would it have changed? Because they pretty much would have been the same. Like, Jerry played a better game than Feidelberg, but I almost feel like Feidelberg maybe gets more votes. One, because he has his own, his game was so different from everyone else's that, hey, I'm not going to backstab. I'm not going to make alliances and play super, super strategically. I'm just going to be like a fun guy to be around, enjoy my factor meals, not piss anyone off. You know, mm-hmm. if he does get to the final three in this case, he made a great argument. I will have won three challenges. So he would have been tied in the challenge performance. He has a lot of friends. And if we are going to go like OG Barstool, Feidelberg is, I mean, he's probably top five when you think of like OG people. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Dave, Big Cat, KFC. If you pick a fourth person, I mean, maybe it's Hank, but it's Hank or Feidelberg in terms of OG. Like, they've been there longer than PFT, even, in though PFT has kind of surpassed them as a bigger mm-hmm. face of the company. But I would have been really interested to see. And Compton even calls it out. Feidelberg was my biggest threat. I wanted Feidelberg out. I couldn't get him out at five because he won immunity. Of course, I'm putting him up in the beanbag game. I was happy to see that they really did award Compton. And I honestly, going into it, thought, hey, Jerry's gonna pull some votes for the money reason and the Barstool fame reason.
Yeah, and you were really big on this. You were talking about this in a lot of the episodes that we did as recaps, where you felt like they were going to want to give this to a bigger name, and Compton got it. And it seems like the bigger name thing kind of went out the door for all of them, because Compton, well, they just thought he played the best game by far.
And there wasn't a big name there in the final three. So once you got to the final three, there wasn't a big name. So we're not just going to give it to the biggest name, because I would say Jerry's the biggest name there. But you wouldn't put him in like the super top upper echelon of Barstool personality. So it's like, at that point, when that's no longer an option, we're not going to hold that thinking, and we're just going to give it to Will. Now, I'm not even sure if that was the thinking. Like, if it was Compton versus KFC and PFT, let's say, like PFT, one of the most popular guys currently, KFC an OG guy, and then Compton Compton still played the same game. I honestly don't think he gets as many votes or wins as easily, because this was a blowout. I mean, this was a 9-2 vote.
Yeah, there were 11 guys, right? So it was 9-2. No, yeah, two people voted Jerry. That was it. And nobody voted Jerry.
So 9-2. So, like, they really didn't care. They really did want to award the best gameplay. And maybe that's something I overlooked, that, like, yeah, they really, really were like, damn, Will killed it.
Yeah. And they really respected it. I mean, nobody, obviously Chang never had a chance, and I kept trying to play devil's advocate of, well, maybe because he cried and he took it so seriously, they'll feel bad for him. But instead they were like, can we make this guy cry again? Maybe we can really lean in so hard that this guy like jumps off bridge on live camera here. But instead they did focus in on Compton. Other than Portnoy and Kirk and Rico, everybody else focused in on the fact that Will just played a great game. Those three guys just love to focus in on, they wanted their moment, they wanted their speech, whatever. And then even Kirk at the end was like, but if you all don't vote for Will, you're just idiots. You're just not voting for the reason of this game. And I thought that was a funny argument, because in his whole speech, it was so directed at Che, and he spent all of his time crapping on the guy who had no chance of winning, but then turns around and was like, and you're all idiots if you don't vote for Will. But he never really gave an argument for why Will should win.
Yeah, he never gave Will props. Well, that's part of his argument, was like, it's so obvious. I don't even need to say it. I'm just here to just rip Che. And yeah, that was, I mean, super, super over the top. It was very mean. And it's, at some point through it, it's like, all right, man, like we get it. And then the best part of it was Shay's response was just like, I enjoyed playing with you. It's like so subdued. Everyone just cracks up and like,
you can't break them. You can't hurt them. You can't get through. No, I mean, Che handled that as well as you could. Because, I mean, what are you supposed to do? You're going to become a hothead and like let them get what they want. They want you to get pissed off. They want you to get all fiery and shit about what's going on here. But it really did. It just brought me back, man, to the glory days of what Survivor used to be at times. I mean, you know, because even though everybody would kind of do their one moment at these final tribals, I always go back to the Marquesas one. when Sean Rector, his speech afterwards, I think it was Tammy who went up and ripped Vesepia for being religious. Sean Rector went up and was like, why is it that everybody in the world gets to lie except for the people who are religious? We say we're religious. We say we love God. And now we're not allowed to lie. And if we do, we're bad people. But you're the biggest liar that there ever has been. And so it still had that kind of interaction of, yes, it was Tammy's moment. Yes, it was Sean's moment. But Sean was also responding to Tammy while giving his props to the person he wanted to give the props to. And this felt like that. It's been so long since we've gotten to see that, where like you say your piece, you say what you want to say, but then you're still making for entertaining TV. And I think Survivor, the real show, almost feels like they're worried that that won't happen. They like almost don't have enough faith that their castaways will do something similar to what the Barstool guys were doing. Now, nobody's going to do what Kirk did. Nobody's going to do what Portnoy did, but still.
Right. Right. Let's go to Dave's speech, because I thought this was interesting, not even in context of like the game and the votes, but just like you could kind of figure out where Dave's head was at. Like, Jerry got him so badly that Dave was beginning to question whether anything that Jerry did in his entire career at Barstool was authentic or real, and was calling out video by video. Were you staging this video, or did this actually happen? And he's like, that one was real, that one was staged. Yeah. And then he ends like, is your whole thing a shtick? And Jerry's like, yeah. and so I think Dave looks at Jerry very differently. And this comes out of basically playing Survivor and trusting Jerry for, I know it's probably like 2 days, or maybe it was like 36 hours. Oh, no, but he was only in the game a little bit of time. And so being barely in the game and still basically putting all your trust in Jerry, and then having him completely lie to you, he just goes, you can see it in Dave's head. He's like, oh my gosh, like if Jerry's capable of doing this, like, I've seen him now be completely dishonest and just completely baffle me. Like, now he's just thinking back about his everything Jerry's ever done. And it's kind of insane. And it's a part of the Barstool Survivor, Surviving Barstool, that makes the show a little bit more, maybe not more interesting than Strangers. Because, you know, Strangers, they have their own things. You can pretend who you are. You can come in. You can maybe be more ruthless. But like the fact that these people work together and have a relationship, I thought was interesting. And they're, you know, Dave really calling out like all of Jerry's content. Like, this is his job. This is his career. So it gets pretty intense.
Yeah, the only one who seemed to really have a hard time with the fact that it was guys they knew was Che. He was the only one who seemed like he was having a hard time balancing that. It seemed like everybody else was kind of understanding that, yeah, we're in a different circumstance. We are sitting in a situation where we know the people we're playing this game with. So, yeah, you're probably going to play it differently. There's no denying that.
Yeah, but even though it's like a different circumstance in a game, and honestly, I'm curious in season 45 where this goes, and we can talk about that a little bit with Austin and D. Yes, it's a game, and everybody knows that. But if you lie really well within the confines of playing Survivor, and just you're totally, and again, we're not playing, we're not there. Like, if Jerry, and then we saw what D did to Austin a couple nights ago, like, doesn't really matter if it's Survivor or not, you're still showing your capability of being dishonest. You are showing, like, Phil, if you and me go play Survivor together, we already know each other, and I just pull one over on you, and you really believe me, you're like, wow, Will, I did not know you could actually lie that well. Like, holy shit. And then we're looking at D and Austin in 45. D just completely lies to Austin here. Austin, and they might enter a romantic relationship, we don't know. Austin might be like, I can never trust this person again, because I know what they're capable of. I know how badly they just fooled me, and how much I trusted them, and how much bullshit they were feeding me. And that's kind of what Dave was feeling towards Jerry. Like, he was in disbelief how badly he was lied to.
Sorry. Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. And I think that
took your breath away with that one.
Yeah, you did. God, I went to speak and somehow I got a dust in my throat. I'm having a rough episode, Will, between the internet and this. It's so tough, man. I don't even know. But, It's hard. So I was thinking about this dynamic while watching at this time. If you are working for someone and you get the chance to backstab them, even in the sense of a game, making that move against them is tough because they have the power in that position. Part of you could still be wondering, well, could they fire me for this? Probably not, but like they could hold it over me for any number of things throughout the rest of my career and say, no, that wasn't the reason why we did it, but ultimately it could be the reason why they did it. You have no way to prove otherwise. So there was that weird dynamic throughout this entire show where Jerry's running around and what did he say at the end of his speech? Being a drug addict told him how to be sneaky and sketchy or whatever. And like he's doing that, but now he's doing it to his boss. And so Portnoy can't believe it. So now Portnoy's calling him out on all this stuff. And there's a whole different level to that than you're ever going to get really in any other game show. It doesn't matter if you're playing Survivor, The Amazing Race, Big Brother. It doesn't matter. It's just like there's a whole different level to that when you're talking about somebody who employs you. Because, Will, if you lied to me on a game show, I'd be like, wow, good for you, Will. I'm impressed you pulled that off. I mean, I dream all the time about going on Survivor Fans versus Favorites and going against some of these people I've been interviewing nonstop. I think that would be a great time because there's be people where it's like, oh yeah, no, we're definitely going to the end together. And then you have to blindside them. You have to. So right, I wouldn't be that. But if you were like my boss or if I was your boss and you blindsided me that way, and I was like, well, how should I feel about this person as somebody I employ? That does change the thought.
Yeah, process. No, and that's what I'm trying to say. That's why I compared Dean Austin. When the relationship isn't just like, oh, we're friends playing a game. Even if you're coworkers, it's like, if it's a, you know, potential romantic relationship or, you know, a business relationship like career or like that actually has influence beyond the game.
Yeah, it does. It really does. Craig Becker says everyone knows it's a game except for Che. Che's played one of these before, right?
Yeah. And he played, and that was kind of his story on this season was like he came in as the player who played too nice the first time around, and now he's got to be ruthless. And he becomes ruthless, and everyone fucking hates him. So it's like,
yeah, it was so funny.
It's like, what's he supposed to do? I don't think he ever had a shot. And maybe we don't get here yet. I kind of want to talk to you about like what this franchise could look like in the future. And honestly, the prospects for me maybe aren't as high as I once had hoped. Unless anything you want to wrap up here in the episode itself. I mean, we had the fire making part. I don't know if you want to touch on that.
That was what it was. I mean, it was kind of, they kind of went the fire making side of things the way Survivor did. Yeah, which was fine. And they were just throwing the beanbags, which was random. It would have been funnier if they were starting a fire inside the office. But I mean, who am I? Who am I to do this? But, you know, the beanbag thing was fine. I like that Jerry was first fights and Jerry beats fights. I want to bring this up, though, with Craig, because I think this is funny. Dave's whole reaction is more about him being competitor versus it being that Jerry got him out. The intensity may have been more or less depending on who it was, but it was going to be there. Mm-hmm. I agree
with that, too. Yeah.
Yeah, I really agree with that. But I love the fact of I'm not mad. And then they start going through, you blocked him on Instagram, you blocked his number, you blocked him here, you unfollowed him here, you did this. But don't forget, guys, he's not mad. Like,
yeah, Portnoy's not mad. Big Cat kept chiming in, but he's not mad. But he's not mad. Yeah, he's not mad. Yeah, but you're not mad, right?
You're not mad. But everything was about how mad
he
was.
PFT said that after Kirk's speech. He was like, but he's not mad.
Yeah, exactly. I'm happy for you guys.
And more of Dave's thing, I think it'd be one thing if like Dave found himself in the minority on the starting tribe where it's like 4-3, or maybe he gets to the merge and he's in the minority. It's like, look, like you're a guy no one wants to be with in the end. You hired everyone, you started this company. And maybe it's like, his time's up. But the fact that he got blindsided and that he was lied to, I think does, like, he was always going to be angry. I agree. And he's always going to be petty. He's super competitive. He's super petty. He even says this in the reunion. I don't know how much you watched of that. I didn't get through.
I watched the whole thing.
Oh, you watched the whole reunion.
Well, I'm actually dedicated to the shows I podcast about. Thanks.
Yeah, well, for me, it was – so I was watching this Wednesday night thinking we were going to come on and do this. And then I texted you, hey, because it was live, they used a different player on their website. Like, usually it's just on demand, and they had the speed thing where you can set it to 1.25 or even 1.5. But here
you couldn't even set your mouse over the end and see who gets voted out. You know, like
Then you're not. I mean, watching at 1.25, you can pretty much, you're getting the entire thing. It's just a way to, for us, if we have a lot of things to podcast.
Yeah. No, I get you.
Survivor on, it's like, yeah, 1.5, maybe you're missing something. But I mean, like you said, you went through the speeches at 1.5, feel like you got it. But that one, you could not watch it at a different speed And it was like 3.5 hours long or something. Obviously, there's the gap in the middle, like you mentioned. But yeah, I got through the finale and I was just like, I gotta watch Survivor. I gotta move on. I can't dedicate this much time. And then I watched a little bit more of it today. But where were we? Where were we going?
You were just saying you got through the finale. Just keep talking. When my internet craps out, you just keep talking and I'll just catch up to whatever you're talking about. Don't you worry. I couldn't tell you. I mean, it's really windy here. Like I'm talking like 45 mile an hour winds outside. So maybe that's screwing with our stuff. Sometimes down here we get power surges. I live in South Florida. We get power surges when it gets windy. So maybe I'm just podcasting at a bad time because we're having like heavy winds. I have no idea. I have Xfinity. This podcast isn't sponsored by Xfinity and I don't like Xfinity. I think it's terrible. So yeah, like that's how I feel about that. It just craps the bed sometimes. You can't do anything about it.
What I was going to get to is the reunion part where Dave was like, once he was voted out, he then was like, all right, well, you got to get PFT, Jerry. And Jerry's like, yeah, I'm going to take out PFT. And then does it. And then lies to Dave again and like keeps rubbing it in. I think that really set Dave off too.
Yeah.
But Dave knows what he's doing and he has his own shtick. Like when he's asking Jerry, is it a shtick? Dave's like, yeah, I know I'm petty. I kind of have my own, but I'm also being a little bit real here also. Like Dave knows exactly what he's doing with his pettiness and competitiveness. So yeah, all around a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a fun episode. I mean, I enjoyed it.
Great season. Honestly, I think Will Compton needs someone like, maybe I'll check out his podcast now. Like he really, I think, shined in this show. So good for him. I'm happy for
him. I was a big fan of Will Compton on this. And like, I didn't really know who he was. I'd heard his name. I don't know what position he played. I think he was a defensive guy. So maybe like one time when I accidentally played like as the Titans and Madden way back when, like I might've accidentally had Will Compton circled one time.
He said but, three interceptions at one point
in a 10-year career. I mean, that's all you can ask for. Right. But yeah, doesn't the one guy have 4 pick sixes this year? So Compton, like what the fuck? But anyway, I really did enjoy him and he was a personality that fits the Barstool thing, but also feels like a more positive version of a lot of the Barstool stuff. Cause like I don't know if that's like the wrong way to take it, but I feel like Will Compton really was like positive the whole season and really was having a good time, where I feel like a lot of these guys, they're so crazy that sometimes they just get so ridiculously negative. And like Will Compton feels more like Fights, except Will Compton had a bigger personality on this show this time than what Fights had. So I really liked him. I would listen to Bustin' with the Boys if that's actually a podcast. I don't know what the hell.
Yeah, he wore the sweatshirt and that's like, yeah. I think that's what that was, his intro when they did his winter thing. And he's like, I'm, you know, Will Compton. I host the podcast Bustin' with the Boys. I've never listened to it. I don't know what they talk about, but maybe I'll tune in.
Yeah, they talk about Bustin' with the Boys. I don't know what there is to not understand about that. What do you think about the fact that they're going to be doing 20? He wants to do 20 players.
Oh, I had not heard this.
Because you didn't watch the end of the damn finale.
I haven't. This is great. You can do a live reaction. I have no thoughts on this because what else?
So here's what they were talking about. And then Big Cat was bringing it up too. And a lot of people were talking about it. They don't think that people who get voted out should be able to have impact on the game.
Yes, I was there for that.
They think people should give up cell phones if they can do this at a time where it's not during football season. And Dave wants to do 20 people and bring in women and men and have it be like a full blown game. And when you're out, like you don't just stay in this place. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
I think that's cool. I think you probably need to find a location other than the office. And hey, I've said the whole time, I love that it's in the office. It offers so many opportunities for different scenes and segments in Survivor episodes that we will never get to see, like finding the plans and the papers, even them having their phones and like looking up stuff on YouTube or messaging each other and texting. Like I actually don't mind all that because it's a unique way to look at the Survivor format. That being said, I don't think if you know, sequestering the jury is something they want to do, which honestly I don't have a huge problem with. I think it adds like kind of a wrinkle to the game. But if they want to make this a more buttoned up real version of Survivor and more authentic, then you kind of have to find a location in New York or Chicago. They can still sleep, you can still dress it up as an office, but when you need somewhere for people, like if Big Cat gets voted out first, he needs to go back to work and like do his podcast and watch sports and blog. And you know, that if you're taking 20 people, out of their jobs, then that's tough. So I think you just need to get them away from the Barstool office, put them back into their work life once they get voted out. I think that's kind of the way to do it.
Yeah, I agree. The problem is if you do like Chicago or New York, the half the people who don't work in those locations or something, like if they're going to still be on the jury, where are you going to go with them?
Yeah, they work doesn't matter. I mean, they're all doing, there's podcast studios at both offices. There's internet at both offices, maybe better than your internet, hopefully. But yeah, all they're doing is blogging. God. And they're blogging and podcasting and making videos, which you can do in either New York or Chicago. So I think that's kind of what you'd have to, do. And then also like casting, maybe this is a good thing. They're going to go to 20 and like, yeah, have some of the women on. That'd be, I think would just increase the casting pool. They've used to have women on these shows. This one,
they
was
said
just,
Kelly Key had been on one of the reality shows.
Yeah. She's done. Yeah. And she did Surviving Barstool Barstool versus America. She did that show twice. So yeah, no, they've had women on all the reality shows. I think this one, they just wanted like the top heavy hitters in like, yeah, there maybe is one or two women you could have put on, but if it was like 12 guys and two women, that feels kind of weird. So I get why they're like, hey, we're just going to go all male. That's fine. Their audience is mostly male anyway. So, I mean, I don't think that was a big issue, but then I think it sort of becomes like the challenge more where you like keep bringing people. And I don't even watch the challenge, but I know they bring people back a lot, like over and over. And then you have these multiple season-long stories that kind of go through, and that's where I was kind of thinking, man, if you were doing this again, you had like 14 people, like who would be your 14? Even if you brought seven of these people back, who would be the other seven that could live up to this cast? And I thought of maybe two, like Stu Feiner, we'd already talked about. I think he would be a blast on this show if he would even agree to do something like this. And then Schmitty, who had been on Most Dangerous Game Show, and he's like a very much older school Barstool personality, maybe Roan, but like I'm trying to, Francis, Roan, Schmitty, Stu are like four.
They said Minty can't do it because he spoiled the final three of this one beforehand, I guess.
Oh, I saw that. I was really, I didn't get spoiled.
I didn't like, either.
Really, but watching all the scenes after with the dump buttons, like this guy always needs a dump button. Whenever those scenes come out where you see Dave in his boss mode and like things are going awry, it's always fun.
Always a good time. Yeah, I like it, but I hope that it doesn't become like the challenge. Like I don't mind. Yeah, Frank the Tank, Craig says. Frank the Tank would be so funny. Frank the Tank.
No, that'd be good too. I just don't. I don't know if it cannot become like the challenge because there are only so
there's not enough many guys.
And there are a bunch of people at Barstool. Like there you have, you know, Vibs, Spider, all the people have done the other reality shows. But then if you're, I don't know, you're the standard has been set with season three. Like you don't want to like backtrack from season three, especially if they're increasing the count. You need Dave, Big Cat, PFD, KFC, Fights, Compton, Tommy. Like these players all need to play again. Now does Shay, Gaz, you know, Kirk actually brought it, even though I don't really know
Kirk
who he is.
Funny
like,
hell, yeah.
But like probably Gaz, Shay, Nate, do they need to play again? Like probably not. And then maybe you have your mainstay people, and that's kind of what the challenge does. I think they do like all the alliances usually break out. It's like newcomers versus the veterans.
It gets stale though. Like so that was my problem when I watched the challenge. The first season I watched of it was the first season that Survivors were on, which was Jay and was it Natalie Anderson. I think it was Jay and Natalie Anderson. And it gets stale because what they're talking about, if you haven't watched the other seasons, you have no idea what's going on. Like the motivations aren't there based on that particular season, which is
right. No,
maybe that works.
It's a pro and con, depending on where you're coming from. It's a huge,
it's hard
con
to get new viewers from that.
Yeah. It's like watching, you know, the seventh or eighth Harry Potter movie. Like you have to have seen the other ones. And that makes those movies better because of all the stuff that's been, all the groundwork that's been laid. But yeah, if you're going to come in and watch Barstool season, Surviving Barstool season 8, and we have these same guys who've just played like six seasons of Surviving Barstool together, then there are five seasons at that point, then yeah, you need to have seen it. But we're only in season 3. So, I mean, the barrier to catch up right now is not that bad, especially the first two seasons. You know, this is kind of, yeah, and they're, yeah. But this one's starting the franchise. It's really elevating it compared to the first two, like in terms
of playing. Yeah, I'm curious. I mean, I'd watch season four for sure. I enjoyed this.
I'd watch it. I just worry, like, man, who else are you getting? It's gonna.
Well, and that's the problem, right? Because let's say like Barstool starts hiring new guys. I mean, you know, Barstool, like any other company, is going to hire new people over and over again. There's just going to be certain people who are bigger names than others. But like, you hire Will as a content guy for Barstool. That, like, now you do your next show, you can't just be like, oh cool, Will, like, we need a 19th guy, go play. That's not, maybe you can do that once every now and then with like a guy who just got hired, but for the most part, people are gonna be like, who the hell is this guy? I don't care. I want to watch the people I know, the people I understand. So that's what makes this a little more difficult too, is you're dealing with people who have years and years and years and years of content experience at Barstool, and now when you try to bring in new people, how do you live up to the hype that is going to be coming off of this season where you had the OGs doing everything? You're not going to have that every season, but how can you even get remotely close that you say, okay, those are 20 people that I at least know who the hell I'm watching, and not, oh cool, they just brought in an intern who everybody's going to shit on the entire season because his personality just isn't going to be big enough to hang with these guys.
Yeah. And they do have a lot of people that make content that weren't on this. Like I've already mentioned a bunch, but they have a long list of people who do podcasts and blogs that they can pull from, that they just might not, you know, you might not recognize them, but like, I'm sure you know who Dana Beers is, or like Pat and Joey, maybe Nick, KB, any of these ringing a bell?
No. Yeah, sure. Well, yeah, no, I know.
Glennie Balls, you know Glennie Balls, right?
As long as somebody, if anybody from Barstool is listening, yeah, I've heard of these guys. For anybody who wants to know my true takes, I'll just tweet right now. Nope, never heard of any of them.
No, it's fine. Literally. Yeah, they're not. That's why they weren't on this season. But like eventually, and that's where this franchise, seasons one and two, more pulled from not their biggest names.
Chap.
And now they've just set a really high standard. And so they have to continue that standard. You can't do Barstool season four and then not have like these top tier personalities that we've, you know, that we had so much fun with this season. Anyway, I've said that a bunch. What else we got?
I'm looking at their thing right now though. It's fun. I'm looking at their bloggers. I mean, I'm only on C and I've scrolled down a lot. So they have plenty of people that they could pull from for sure. Mm-hmm. Is Gia Mariano related to Boston Rob?
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't either. I did like how in this episode, and this can kind of be like the last thing we talk about, but I liked how in this episode, Dave just kept talking about Russell Hantz. So clearly he's seen at least up to season 20 of Survivor and watched it pretty like aggressively.
Oh, yeah. Dave's he's a pretty big fan. I remember I used to watch the rundowns back in the day, and it was like a slow rundown day. And that's when they just bring up random topics and talk about it. Mm-hmm. They do it Monday to Thursday. And this was like when the season 30 cast got announced, and Rodney was like a rundown talk, because Dave was just like, this guy is hilarious. In his casting video, he said something about some people do astrology or something, and I hustle, that's all I do, or something. I forget what it was, but he called that out. It was like, wow, you're watching the casting videos like the day the cast drops, like you're a bigger fan than I thought.
Yeah. And a lot of the guys were like, yeah, I've never seen a single second of Survivor. So for me, I had no idea how the votes even worked. Big Cat just kept saying he had no idea how the votes worked. So I think now that this season had such big names on it, pretty much anybody who would play Surviving Barstool season four will understand exactly how the game works too. So you might lose a little bit of that fun of the chaos of not understanding how some of these people actually did have to like come to terms with what Survivor is as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I apologize for my internet sucking for especially the first 10 minutes there. That was brutal. So hopefully you listened through that and you got to this point. It's normally not that bad. And you got to trust me and Will moving forward, because once we hit January, it's like, you're going to keep coming back to some schmo whose internet sucks. Probably not, but it's normally not that bad. I don't know what the hell happened. That's the end of Surviving Barstool season three. I'm glad we recapped it. I'm glad we put the effort in. I'm glad we did pretty much every episode, even though the first three were lumped into one. We didn't know what was going on. Will and I have actually talked about what we're going to potentially do. And I won't say what it is, but we could potentially be doing another recap show of a show in January. So we've been talking about that. So the Surviving Barstool won't be the only random show that we do moving forward. We're going to start getting a little bit more involved in that reality TV space beyond just Survivor, so we can expand and you know, keep going. I don't know. Will, you got anything to say to that? You're just staring at me. So staring through my soul. I don't know what to do with myself.
No, I mean, that's right. We're going to, if new shows come out that we find interesting and we want to talk about, then we want to talk about it. Sure. We'll do a podcast on it. And it could be a reality show. It could be a scripted show. It could be whatever. So yeah.
Hopefully it's not 3 nights a week though. Cause that was a lot. Yeah.
No,
we don't need 3 nights a week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Please.
That was fun. I'm glad to be back in the game, back in the saddle.
I'm glad Will is back. And, you know, for anybody who's listening here, Will's going to be around all of season 45. I mean, at this point, he was saying at the beginning, don't say it to Will's going to be around 46. He'll be back around all 46. So if you're watching the Real Survivor Show, that's where it's at. But thanks everybody who listened to this throughout the entire thing. Will and I started it and we just said, let's see how many people watch. And we actually got, you know, people cared. And I was getting messages about like, when are you putting out this finale recap? And I was like, damn. Actually care that we are doing this and they're getting pissed off at us for not putting it out yet. So here we are and hope you enjoyed it. And we will talk to you all. I'll talk to you all on Monday when I have James Jones. Yeah. You won't see Will until sometime.
Disappear for a little bit. Yeah.
We need a break. It's been long enough.
Yeah. It's been a lot of episodes.
Yeah. It's 8 episodes, 6 episodes, whatever it was. It was too much, but we'll see everybody later.